So usually there are only two experiences in prayer. At least that's what I have found. The first is when I have a problem and I go pray and the Lord brings me peace. Problem gone. At other times I have a problem and I go pray and then I feel even crazier than before I prayed. It's almost as if I approach Jesus because I don't feel good, looking for some relief, and yet it doesn't come. You may not feel connected in any way to a higher power and like you're just talking to yourself in your head. My friends, both are correct experiences of prayer at different times. Jesus tells us that all are called. He says, "Come to me, all who are labor, or all who labor." For some, getting out of bed is a labor. Others work ceaselessly and tirelessly at the service of others. There is no mold for a Christian. If one wants to follow Christ, then they are a Christian. There are certainly firm expressions which make that desire real, such as baptism, First Communion, and confirmation. But all one needs to do to follow Jesus is desire to. We are also not disqualified from following him for any reason. Nothing we could ever do and nothing we have done lessens our call that we have in our life to follow Christ. So how do we stay motivated when I'm not in one of those sweet, sweet times of consolation? Do I just stop praying until the good feelings come back? Prayer is a relationship. Now imagine your spouse or significant other has upset you. Ideally, those two people are the same person, but anyway, despite how you may actually react, think of the mentally stable approach. If someone has been hurt, they should also know that they are loved enough where they can say how they feel without fear. So many people have this idea that if they show God real emotion, he will be angry and smite them. The God of the universe knows your thoughts before you think them. There is nothing hidden. Jesus knows your heart better than you do. If you are not honest with him when you pray, if you do not talk about all of your struggles, your works, your joys, and your needs, then you are not praying with your complete humanity. Some people only show God the side they think he wants to see. But we are so deeply loved by God that we have the freedom to be honest with him without the fear of reprisal. So bring it back to your angry spouse analogy. After knowing you are loved enough that you can freely say how you feel at some point, you actually have to go talk to them eventually. They cannot read your mind. Now, this analogy falls apart because God can read your mind, but don't get ahead of me. If I was intending to reconcile with anyone, I can think about it all I want. But I do actually need to open my mouth and ask for forgiveness at some point to make it real. Now, God desires to hear from you. Jesus wants you to care about him enough that he is made a priority in your day. "But I have kids, Father. I have a wife. I have a job. I have soccer practice. I have whatever." Everything on your list of reasons why you can't pray or why you don't pray is a list of everything you love more than God right now. He doesn't get put on the back burner and fit into the day. But you make time to pray every single day. Now, I can say I love someone, but if I rarely talk to them, never see them, and never communicate in any way, the places that I spend my time or the people I spend my time talking to are the things and people that I really love. If we are not praying every single day on our own, then we are not following the first commandment. But as I said, what if you pray and it's boring, or you don't feel anything after, or you don't feel any calmer? The short answer is do it anyway. But since you've paid for the full hour, I'll explain. Now let's say in a hypothetical situation, I go over to Our Lady of Perpetual Help and I just start throwing old people out of the window. Most people would agree that is a bad action. Now, let's pretend I go over to Our Lady of Perpetual Help and I start throwing those same residents out the same window, but this time the building's on fire. Now I'm a hero. Same action in two different circumstances with different intention determines if the action is a good action or a bad action. So two final points on intention, and then we'll stick the landing. Now, when you pray, you feel nothing. Pray anyway. It's not about you. So get over your ego. Prayer is to change you. But sometimes that change is drastic. Often and usual, it's subtle, because lasting change takes a while. Now, this isn't written, but as an aside, I was praying this morning. Yes, priests sometimes pray. And here is what the Lord told me. He said, do you know why ADHD people perseverate on things so much? I said, no, Lord, tell me. He said, it's because you forget everything. You forget everything, and so your brain, in an attempt to be your friend, is trying to remind you of the very important thing that you should not forget. But because my brain wants to keep reminding me of that very important thing that I might be worried about, and I over-perseverate, or I hyper-perseverate, and I overthink about it, that's ADD. Does any of that matter to me? A little bit. Is it a huge, drastic change? Absolutely not. Was it whispered to me in prayer? Yes. Will that drastically affect my life? No, because I will still have ADD in 5 seconds. But does it help me understand myself a little bit better? Yes. So pray anyway, because the change that happens is subtle, but it's good. When you pray and you feel nothing, pray anyway, as I said. All right. So when it's dry, when you have the discipline to do it anyway, just like you do when you take your vitamins or eat your vegetables because you know it's good for you. It's not about the feeling you get from prayer, but it's the intention that you bring to it. If your intention is to spend time communing with Jesus, then it shouldn't really matter if feelings come or not, because you have given that time to him. And now it's his to do whatever he wants. And secondly, you've got a small victory, for you have left your ego at the door. Lastly, start ascribing actions of others to ignorance, not malice. Stop being so full of our own sense of self-importance that we judge others' actions as always against us. He did that to me on purpose. She knows I hate when she does that. Absolutely, maybe. But usually people act with neutrality at best. Think about yourself and your own actions and how many times you actually do something against someone else, or how many times you try and do something nice, but it is perceived the wrong way. For example, whenever someone does something stupid on the road in traffic, I always just assume they really need to get to a bathroom, because otherwise they wouldn't be driving like that. Intention matters. Most days of our life pass without trial and relative ease. But there are those seasons, those experiences, those times that come upon us so suddenly that they can shake us and our faith to the core. Jesus always calls us and doesn't release us from being his followers just because it's hard. He encourages us to set our intention toward Jerusalem, as he did, knowing that it would mean his death. We are no different than Jesus. We too must first go through death before we experience the peace and the rest he promises in today's gospel. And the only way we know to guide us through that journey of death is by spending intentional time with Jesus in prayer every single day. It helps lighten the heavy load of sadness. It brings healing to those bowed down by grief and tragedy. It changes us from the inside out so that we might be worthy of the calling that we have received as adopted sons and daughters of God. So no matter what your experience of prayer is, whether it's beautiful and refreshing or whether it's a chore, it's worth it. Intentionally take time for the Lord every day so that you may not hear the words, "Depart from me, you evil and wicked creature," but rather you are welcomed to the words, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. Come and take your rest."